Well, I see we've got some space left on this tape, so I've decided to usefully fill it and introduce you to a piece of information called the loop. Now, the loop is a piece of information which gives a relationship between a postulate and what that postulate permits to be possible and what that postulate permits to be impossible. Now, the first thing you should know about the loop is that it's not peculiar to this universe. This is a general principle that will be applicable to any universe, but it's certainly applicable to this universe. Now, what it amounts to is this, that if you have a postulate, you can deduce from the postulate what is possible in the universe in terms of that postulate. And knowing what is possible in terms of that postulate in the universe, you can deduce what is impossible in the universe in terms of that postulate. And, now note the next bit, knowing what is impossible in terms of that postulate in the universe, you can deduce the postulate. So it's a loop. It's like having A, B and C, and if you know A, you can deduce B, and if you know B, you can deduce C, and if you know C, you can deduce A. You've got the loop. It's like a snake going round and being connected up. The tail end of the snake is connected up to the mouth of the snake. The whole thing's connected up in a circle. That's why we call it a loop. Now, it's very easy to prove logically that when we have a situation like that where B is a valid deduction from A and C is a valid deduction from B and A is a valid deduction from C, that that A and B and C are all identical to each other. In other words, that A equals B equals C equals A. So the whole lot are identical one to the other. It's very easy to prove this logically. I won't bother to prove it on this tape. You can find the proof in any logical textbook. It's an easy proof. Now, I'll give you a very, very, very simple example of this. Let's consider a particular loop. Let's say that we have the we enter a particular loop. We discover that all crows are birds. Now, that is the postulate. We've got the postulate now. That's the relationship. That's the postulate. All crows are birds. Now, from this, we can quite validly deduce that it's impossible for the class of creatures that are crows and non-birds to exist. So that's our first deduction. We've now deduced the impossible. What that postulate, all crows are birds, just what that postulate makes impossible in our universe, you see. And knowing that this class of creatures that are both crows and non-birds doesn't exist in the universe, that the postulate has made it impossible, we can now deduce what is possible in the universe in terms of this postulate. Well, that turns out to be we can either have birds in the universe or non-crows in the universe, or we can have both. That tells us what's possible in terms of our postulate. Now, in that particular example, we haven't really learned an awful lot. But let's get very, very fundamental. Let's take some very, 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 very basic, very, very basic postulates in this particular universe that we all inhabit. We know in this universe that a thing cannot both exist and not exist simultaneously. We know that. We call that the law of the impossible in the universe. And we know that, I've already mentioned that this is on an earlier supplementary lecture, that this is a valid deduction from the basic law upon which this universe is constructed. That this idea that a thing cannot both exist and not exist simultaneously. So here we have an element in a loop.
You say, ah, you recognise this as an element in a loop. We say, okay, let's find the rest of the loop. There's two more elements in this loop. Let's find the rest of the elements in the loop. Okay, well, now we've got the impossible. It should be possible now to easily to deduce what's possible. Yes, well, what is possible in this universe is that a thing either exists or it doesn't exist. That's possible, you see. That exhausts the possibilities. So now we have the impossible. Thing cannot both exist and not exist simultaneously. That's the law of the... That's the law of the impossible. Now we have the law of the possible, that a thing either exists or it doesn't exist. All right, that's two out of the three members of the loop. Well, what is the third member of the loop, the postulate? Well, the postulate here is that let X be the thing that exists. If the thing exists, we call it X. Well, X equals X. If X equals X, that's the third part of the loop. Now, these identifications, I've already said, each element of the loop, three elements in the loop, is identical to the other two elements. All parts of the loop are identical to the remainder of the loop. Now, this identification is not a false identification, it's a true identification. So, the postulate that X equals X, which is obviously true in this universe, all X's are X's, there's no doubt about that, that all cats are cats, and all kings are kings, and all coal heavers are coal heavers, you know, all X's are X's, it's true. But what isn't immediately obvious is that to say that X equals X, that to say that... that X cannot both exist and not exist simultaneously is just another way of saying that X equals X. Now, that isn't obvious, is it? But it's true because of the loop. So when we say that X equals X, another way of saying X equals X is to say that X cannot both exist and not exist simultaneously. And another way to say that X equals X, or to say that X cannot both exist and not exist simultaneously, is to say that X either exists or it doesn't exist. So, again, you see, that now we're into something useful, aren't we? Now we're really discovering something. It's not obvious that those three expressions are actually mean the same thing, are simply different ways of saying the same thing. But it is so, I can assure you, because of the identification in the loop and the fact that the identification is a true identification. Now, this loop will appear... I mentioned it at this stage, but we won't be using it at this stage. I won't be discussing it any further at this stage. But the loop will appear in a later supplementary lecture when we take up the subject of the anatomy of insanity. You'll find this loop turning up again. And so you see that you'll discover that it does have some tremendous practical uses, this does. But I'm giving it to you at this stage, mainly to fill up this, partly to fill up this little blank in this tape that we've got here, and also to give you time to think about it, to get your mind wrapped around this idea, this connection between a postulate and the subject of the possible and the subject of the impossible, and to see that there is a very, very real connection between these three things, which is true in all universes. To prepare your mind for this idea. Okay, that's all I want to say on the subject, and I better get off the subject now before this tape runs off the end of the spool.